this community starting out in banking before moving over to Superior and working on downtown revitalization. And then again, for the majority of my career at Minnesota Power. And really the heart of my career has been in economic development. And that might be a good lead-in for what I know is to come and for future questions with respect to my interest in this board.
Awesome. We'll forgive you for being a badger.
I don't even want to be a badger right now, but let's not go there. Okay. Or a Packer, you
good
for that matter.
Why are you interested in serving on this particular board?
Well, as I mentioned, my career was spent in economic development, and it's because I have such a passion for this region and its economic prosperity. Having served on the DETA, having served as the chair of the Airport Authority in my past, the Seaway Port Authority has always been of interest to me as sort of another linchpin in our economic development fabric in this region. And it's one that I have pursued in the past through other appointment processes. And it's just a timely privilege at this moment to be the mayor's recommendation to serve.
You foresee any personal scheduling conflicts which may prevent you from attending the regular meetings of the Port Authority?
I do not.
What do you consider the personal strengths you'd bring to the Port Authority?
You know, I gave this a little thought because this is a great board. It has an excellent staff. And what I'm hoping to bring, of course, is my background in economic development, leverage that knowledge, especially the relationship with partners and how important it is to work collaboratively with organizations like DETA, the city, the state, federal agencies. I also hope to bring a knowledge of our transportation system here in the region and how it's interconnected, and how we as Duluth and the region are also interconnected with a global economy. So those are some of the reasons that I hope to bring those strengths forward in this position.
Great. Are you presently serving on any other board or commission? And if so,
I'm
which
on
ones?
The Minnesota Humanities Center board at this time, and I am an emeritus board of trustee member of the Northland Foundation.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
You know, I think at this point, I would just be very happy to respond to questions, knowing that you have a tight schedule tonight.
Counselors, any questions? Okay, Counselor Hobbs.
thank you, Chair Alstead. I don't have any questions.
Oh, good.
I just appreciate your interest in this this role, Ms. Nora, and look forward to having you continue to contribute to our city.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Nancy. We'll look forward to making our vote on Monday.
Excellent. Thanks so much.
And the personnel committee session is closed. Don't laugh.
I did my best.
So I always like to stop at 6:50 because it gives like, I don't think they're budgeted for 40. I'm guessing that. So is this the existing schedule? Oh, libraries are fine. So to create a window, you would need, yeah. I agree with that. I think we have to create space here. So I would. Or if you just wanted to domino it, it would be a deal at 6. So however, I would start the appeal at 6:20 and then get to go somebody to the agenda. Yeah.
would do something, I'd be like, oh my god, no, I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Stop.
Community that uses parks and malls. This is not,
these are not parks that are that's just as important. Vacation, they're not going.
Thank you.
dinner on Thursday or Monday night.
Show him. I bet he'll get it.
Maybe. I know. The man. Murray. Yeah, I sat next to him at a restaurant.
Really?
Totally random. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Where was that?
North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was out there for work. Well, he is, yeah.
He...
All right. Good evening, counselors. Thank you for being here for our interview at 5. We have two counselors who will not be able to join us tonight, so we will go ahead and get started with our consent agenda. And the first committee we've got is our Finance Committee under Vice President Kennedy, if you want to go ahead and read your items in.
Item number 5, Resolution 847, resolution authorizing execution of 2023 to 2025 personal services agreement with Duluth Joint Powers Enterprise Trust and accepting $409,863 in year 2023, $420,109 in year 2024, and $430,000 and $30,612 in year 2025 from the Duluth Joint Powers Enterprise Trust. Item number 6 is Resolution 855, resolution determining not to reassess parcel for administrative fines and bank building fee assessments in the amount of $7,190.57. And item number 7 is Resolution 856, confirming assessment roll levied for reassessment of prior canceled assessments in the amount of $1,032.66.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Councillor Hobbs.
Thank you, President Forsman. I just have a question on Resolution 855. Is the reason that we're not reassessing just... it being a DITA property, and if this were a privately owned lot, would we assess? Is that kind of standard practice?
President Forsman, Councillor Hobbs, the Special Assessment Board is a staff board that I chair. Our pattern has been that when there is a new owner where there is previous assessments, that we have historically waived fines and fees that are not money that we have spent. So in this case, this is administrative fines and vacant building fees. So no real financial out-of-pocket for the city. But then, as you'll see on the resolution immediately after it, number 7, Resolution 856, that we do apply where either the city or in the case of one of the haulers, Hartels or Waste Management has spent money, we do apply those assessments so that that outlay is recovered and that is basically part of what you assume when you purchase a property like this. And so there's no real connection to DITA other than that it happens to be a DITA property. It is consistent with the way in which the Special Assessment Board has managed these things during my time on it.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hobbs. Vice President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. This is a question probably for Mr. Schuffman. Resolution 847. Could you just run me through on if this is the same language or just an update of this sort of agreement? And then my other question would be is, on the budget, and I have my budget book here, which I'll be going through, the Enterprise Trust is a separate pot of money from the levy budget, or and how does it get integrated as far as how you take into consideration city expenditures?
Kennedy, I'm going to start with your last question. The Joint Powers Enterprise is the City of Duluth, the Duluth Airport Authority, the DEC, and the Duluth HRA. And that is a pool of employees that make up the city and those entities' healthcare plan. And so the funding that separate funding that you're talking about is the funds for paying for healthcare. The general fund, the city's general fund contributes to that fund, as do the budgets of those other organizations. And so it is a fully separate fund from the general fund, although the general fund contributes to it on behalf of Duluth employee, City of Duluth employee healthcare. This resolution is a renewal of an existing agreement that we have had. The City of Duluth, it serves as the fiscal agent for the pool and performs the administrative services, some of that through finance, some of that through HR, for the JPE. And this is just an extension of that agreement to continue that arrangement moving forward.
I do one follow-up question. So how do you budget for the years coming forward, like 2024, 2025?
Vice President, President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, this expenditure is to the pool paying the City of Duluth for our work. And so it is a base amount that is calculated of what the staff time that goes into that is. And then there is an escalator for each year based on inflation, or based on, I think it's 2.5% each year, yes, to just continue to account for increased costs. And so this is a net contribution essentially to the general fund from the insurance pool to pay for staff time.
And one more question, and then I will be able to move on. So if the increase that we've sort of budgeted in that crystal ball, if the cost is more, where does that money, or where would we find that money?
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, we don't expect the cost to be more. This pool has been in place for a number of years, and so we have a pretty good handle on what the amount of staff time is. Certainly, if we were suddenly to double the amount of time that we were spending, we would revisit that with the JPE board, which conveniently is chaired by me. And so that's something that we would look at if and when we had to do that.
Sorry, I thought I was done. So the cost would be shared between the organizations and not all the city. Make up the difference if President, there was a greater expenditure than expected.
President Forsman, Vice President Kennedy, the money that is contributed to the JPE's funds comes from all four organizations. And it is, I believe, and I'm a little bit speculating here, but it is prorated by the number of employees that each organization has to make sure that it's not even split between the four organizations, given that we have the largest number of employees. So in the event that we had a major overage in staff time and costs, and we did have to then revisit it as a board, it would be the same situation where we would look at if there were to be an increase of any substance, it would probably, I assume, would follow the same formula.
Thank you, Vice President Kenny. All right, seeing nobody else with their hands up, Councillor Hobbs, you are next with purchasing and licensing.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 849, approving issuance of a temporary on-sale intoxicating liquor license to various licensees. Resolution 851, approving the temporary expansion of the on-sale intoxicating liquor license of various licensees.
Thank you, Councillor Hobbs. Seeing no councillors with their hands up, we will go to Councillor Alstead with personnel.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 10. Resolution 845, resolution confirming the appointment of Nancy Nord to the Seaway Port Authority of Duluth. Item number 11, resolution 862, resolution confirming the appointment of members to the Duluth Housing Trust Fund Review Committee. Item 12, Resolution 863, a resolution confirming the appointment of Archie Davis to the Duluth African Heritage Commission. And item 13, Resolution 871, confirming the appointment of Robert Woods to the Duluth Parking Commission.
Thank you, Councillor Alstead. Again, no questions. Oh, Vice President Kennedy.
What? Thank you, President Forsman. I want to just thank everyone who volunteers on any of our commissions, but I do want to highlight Archie Davis, who for many, many years served with our former colleague, Renee Vanette, in the Citizen Review Board. And it'll be great to have Archie back serving our city again. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Okay, Councillor Randorf, on to Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 846 authorizes acceptance of a grant from the Center for Workforce Inclusion in an amount of $208,384 for the purposes of providing community service opportunities to older adults. Resolution 858 is a resolution authorizing proper city officials to accept a grant from the Duluth Legacy Endowment Fund in the amount of $23,138.
Thank you, Vice President, or Councillor Randorf, sorry. I'm looking at my thing as I'm talking here. Thought somebody reached for their button, but I don't see anybody with their hand up. Oh, Robin? All right, very good. Then we'll go to the Committee of the Whole under my name. Resolution 869, amending and restating Resolution 22-0545R, appointing additional election judges for the November 8th, 2022 general election. Councillor Mayo, you are up next with Public Works and Utilities.
Thank you, President Forsman. Resolution 806 is authorizing an agreement with Houston Engineering Incorporated for engineering services for the 2022 update to the Duluth Multiple Stormwater or Separate Storm Sewer System MS4 Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan SWPPP for an amount not to exceed $48,600. And Resolution 861 is authorizing a cooperative construction agreement with St. Louis County for the city's share of costs for the Morris Thomas Road Reconstruction Project.
Thank you, Councillor Mayo. We do not have Councillor Anderson with us for public safety, so Councillor Owl, if you wouldn't mind pinch hitting and jumping in, we're on item 19.
Thank you, President Forsman. Item 19, Resolution 852. Resolution authorizing the execution of a task force agreement between the Duluth Police Department and the United States Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, and further authorizing the acceptance of reimbursement monies from the DEA for overtime expenses incurred in support of the task force. Item 20, Resolution 853. Three, resolution authorizing proper city officials to accept a grant from the United States Department of Justice in the amount of $35,779 and further authorizing the execution of grant agreement with St. Louis County. Item 21, resolution 854, resolution authorizing proper city officials to accept a FY22 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice Office of Community Oriented Policing Services, the COPS office, technology and equipment program in the amount of $750,000, and further authorizing execution of the grant documents.
Thank you, Councillor Owl. Councillor Alstead.
Thank you, President Forsman. I am just flagging that item 20 includes first witness, and I'm on the board of directors there, and I will have to abstain from the resolution.
Thank you, Councillor Alstead. That is certainly your choice. You don't necessarily have to abstain just because you're on the board, but I always encourage you to chat with the attorney's office if you have questions on that, on specifics. Okay. We don't have Councillor Timonic with us. I don't see any other questions under public safety. So, Councillor Hobbs, if you could read in for Councillor Timonic.
Got it. Resolution 848, authorizing acceptance of a Minnesota Department of Natural Resources Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund grant in the amount not to exceed $500,000 to enhance recreational access along the St. Louis River estuary. Resolution 859, resolution of intent to sell or convey certain real property in the Oneida neighborhood. Resolution 860, authorizing a contract with Corval Constructors for the general conditions work scope of the City Hall Mechanical, Electrical, and Plumbing, MEP, renewal project for a total not to exceed $2,860,000.
Thank you, sir. Councilor Mayo.
Thank you, President Enforcement. I had a question about resolution 848, if Administration or Mr. Philby Williams, I think, is with us, to just provide a little bit more description of that project in the St. Louis River Estuary. And I, as I understand, it's related to Wabashay Shikanah, the Martin Trail. And I'm also curious if that will effectively complete that trail and kind of where we'll be at after accepting that grant.
Councilor Mayo, thank you for the question. The city's aim is to complete by the end of 2025 the extension of Wabashay Shikanah, 3 miles from its current terminus in Riverside to its new terminus near the a location called Mud Lake near U.S. Steel, and in the entirety of the trail to remove any remaining accessibility barriers, and to add canoe kayak access and shore fishing opportunities that have low barriers to access. That's going to be a multi-million dollar proposition. This is one of several grant sources that we're tapping into. We also have incoming funds from the National Park Service and other funds from the state of Minnesota. So this by itself will actually not complete any major part of the project, but it will contribute to a funding package that will get all the work done by the end of 25.
That's fantastic. So construction, I'm assuming, from this grant and the other funds that we're seeking will start next year, I'm presuming?
President Forsman, Councilor Mayo, the construction of segment 3 in the adjoining the Morgan Park neighborhood is underway and will be completed next year. And then segment 2 will be probably commence at about this time next year. And so we'll kind of take it in phases.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Philby Williams and Councilor Mayo. I don't see anybody with their hand up. I'll just note it's always great to see these kinds of grants come through. So kudos to you and your staff. That is the end of our resolutions. We've only got one ordinance to be read for the first time, and that is under Vice President Kennedy, if you want to go ahead and read that in.
Thank you, President Forsman. This is Ordinance 32, an ordinance providing that all assessments shall be paid on installments unless paid otherwise, and deleting the requirement for an application, therefore, amending Section 45 to 82, subsections B and C of the Duluth City Code 1959 as amended.
Thank you, Vice President Kennedy. Councilor Mayo, did you have something on this? Sorry, I didn't clear it from last time. So, okay, that is the end of our agenda for Monday night. I have CAO Schuckman's hand up.
Thank you, President Forsman. I just wanted to note for councilors that and the public that tomorrow evening at the end of the workday, the heat will be turned off in City Hall to do work on the building systems as part of the ventilation project. The heat is expected to go back on Wednesday next week. So I would encourage you to bring layers on Monday night. We don't expect that it will be super cold in here, but it may be cooler than it normally is. And so choose your own adventure, but please keep that in mind as you come in on Monday night, that it's very possible that it will be in the mid to low 60s in here at that time. We will have some heat solutions that we'll be trying to help with that, but I just want to make sure that no one was caught by surprise by that.
Thank you, CAO Schuckman. Councilor Owl.
Thank you, President Forsman. Are city employees still expected to, are there going to be additional heat sources for employees throughout that time as renovations or the work is being done?
President Forsman, Councilor Owl, we are getting significant advance notice every time that this would happen. And so my general expectation is that most City Hall employees will work remotely for some or all of those days. And we have absolutely made that an option for people. I know I will be working remotely for portions of those 3 days to make sure that I'm comfortable, just as many of our folks will. We will still have customer service available for departments that have that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Owl. President Kennedy.
Thank you, President Forsman. Councilors, we start on Monday at 5 o'clock?
5:15. Five o'clock dinner. Yep.
And then police, parking, and STEAM finance committee meetings. Our council meeting at 7.
Very good. Yep. Another full agenda. Councilor Hobbs.
Forsman. I just have a question on kind of an open question since this is a public meeting. Do we want to figure out how we want to regulate our virtual testimony in the event that we have significant out-of-state goose concerns? I mean, if we're going to get a lot of calls from New Jersey, that's going to have to be that they want a Springsteen Museum in Duluth for me. And I don't know how we want to handle that. If it's, I guess, Attorney St. George, what options do we have? Not have people physically. I think it's great that we have the virtual option. I think it's less great when it is people many states away or even states away. Do we have options that we can put in place to not have to listen to testimony from New Jersey, Florida, California?
Attorney St. George.
President Forsman, Councillor Hobbs. Let me dive into that a little deeper. I know you could not have the virtual option at all, as far as restricting who can speak if you do have the virtual option. I'm not quite sure if that's legal or how you would police it. It may be possible to basically say, if you're not a resident of Duluth, can't do it. On the other hand, that might bring up some other problems if there are people who want to speak to issues that impact them that happen in Duluth who don't actually live in Duluth. So let me spend some time with that, and I'll get back.
That would be helpful. And I think, the virtual option for folks that visit and live here is great, and it's different if, one of counselors or someone else is having testimony or someone talking about a matter that, locally has sourced that versus something making the news and having just a passionate citizen from a coast or wherever just testifying. So I'm interested in seeing what we can do just so that we can continue our work on local issues to our constituents.
There may be some interesting First Amendment questions that come up against that.
Councilor Hobbs, thank you. Attorney St. George, thank you as well. I agree with where you're going with that, Councilor Hobbs. I was thinking about bringing that up either tonight or Monday night, so I appreciate you raising it, but certainly not the anticipation when we kept the virtual option, nor did we see it used that way when we were virtual for nearly 2 years. So it wasn't obviously overwhelming when we had that particular topic come up, but it kind of exposed that loophole to say, is that really the intent of why we kept it? And I don't feel it is, but it's a good point that legally, how do you even regulate that and where do you draw that line? That would be interesting to hear some analysis. I'll just open it up if there's anybody else who had any comments on that topic since it's already been raised. And if not, that's okay. We can always continue talking about this too. Okay. All right. Well, I don't see anything else, so we will adjourn to Monday. Bring your coat. We'll see you at 5. Oh, okay.